thank you to those who have blessed us with their musical offerings this week. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Christ candle is a reminder of God's presence with us, shining in the darkness, illuminating our path when the way seems dim. In wisdom and goodness, God has created all people in his image, yet we are all so different, even if we speak the same language or belong to the same family. This shows us the variety and complexity of God. Each of us has been created with and for a purpose. It will not be the same as our neighbors or friends. God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, equips and enables everyone to participate in a unique and special way in his holy kingdom. Finding out how, when, and where we are to be about God's purpose is often not easy. But one thing we can be certain of, Jesus guides us every step. Praise be to God. Let us worship the one who brings us safely through the trials of this life. Let us pray the prayer of confession together. God of love and power, we listen to the stories of miracles and doubt that these things can happen today. We look at the waves of misfortune, distress, misery, distrust, and anger, and wonder how we can still those waves. We feel the pressure of anxiety and fear flooding into our lives and wonder where you are. Forgive us for the littleness of our faith. Forgive us for our doubts. Help us to place our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Help us to fix our eyes on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, hear these words of assurance from Romans 8. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Be at peace and know that this assurance comes because God has forgiven us and God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant of the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. And you shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all that you have be impoverished. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept on them, and afterward his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of Jesus' most famous and beloved claims is his proclamation and promise that we read in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is a touchstone statement theologically, but I've also found it to be a helpful statement in my own personal study of the scriptures. It is something I have often kept in my mind as I've come to the stories of the Bible. I sometimes use it as a guide for what I'm looking for. I ask myself things like, what does this story show us about the way that Jesus has made for us to live in relationship with God once again? Or what does this show us about the truth we see in Jesus' life? Both of those are great questions, and they could have been really useful to guide our study of this story this morning. But today I find myself focusing on the life part of Jesus' promise to us. I am wondering what this story of Joseph revealing himself to his brothers has to show us about life, and specifically about how we can find the life we long for, the life that Jesus has embodied and promised us. Well, some stories from Scripture are easier to find the life in than others, aren't they? To this point, Joseph's story has not seemed like one of those. In fact, at first glance, there are parts of this story that don't seem very life-giving at all. You'll remember from last week's reading that these same brothers that we have met today were the ones who abandoned Joseph and sold him as a slave years before when he was just a young man. Well, now we are 22 years on from that point, and Joseph has ended up in Egypt, where he has not only survived slavery, but actually has become so trusted by the Egyptian ruler, Pharaoh, that he's been made his second in command. Next to Pharaoh, Joseph is the most powerful man in all of Egypt. He's been given that role in part because he has this incredible ability to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph realized that those dreams were God's way of warning Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 good years of plentiful harvest, but that those good years would be followed by 7 years of extreme famine. It was Joseph's discernment and also his wisdom that earned him Pharaoh's favor. He astutely advised Pharaoh to have his people stockpile the abundance of grain they would have during those 7 good years so that they would be prepared and would be able to survive when the famine came. Well, today we have picked up with this story and we are already 2 years into that famine. And people are coming from all over to try to buy grain from those stockpiles the Egyptians had. Among those people are Jacob's sons, Joseph's traitorous brothers. By the time we come to today's reading, Joseph and his brothers have already met on two occasions when they did come to buy grain earlier on behalf of their father. And Joseph has realized who they are the whole time, but they haven't figured out who he is. Both times, Joseph put them through some testing, the details of which are too complex for us to go through in our time together this morning. But suffice it to say that they knew full well that Joseph had the power to decide whether they lived or died. And that's actually what brings us to the whole twist in this story. Joseph could have easily exacted revenge on his brothers, but he didn't. He had the power in his hands, and he had some reason to want to take revenge, but he didn't do it. Instead, remarkably, as we heard in the story that Anne read for us, he decides to reveal himself to his brothers this time. He says, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold you into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Instead of taking revenge, Joseph chose to show his brothers grace, to forgive them, and so to make the way for his whole family to be reconciled. It's a lovely, moving scene as Joseph is overcome with emotion. He throws his arms around his favorite brother, Benjamin, and weeps over them all. And you know, me and my rose-colored glasses, I love a happy ending. I just want to stop at this point and enjoy the scene and then move on. But there's a problem in doing that. I don't think it helps us to answer that question we started with. What does this story tell us about how we can find the life Jesus has shown us and promised us? The life we all long for in the depths of our being. It's not until we start to challenge this text a bit that we can find the pieces in it that help us to connect it with our lives today. So, resisting the urge to let this just stand as a nice, tidied up conclusion to the story of Joseph's long drama with his brothers, let's ask the obvious question. Where on earth did he find the strength and the conviction to forgive them? He'd spent years in slavery, and even more years had been lost by not being with his family. He must have been angry, but how did he set aside that resentment? How did he get to the point of being able to choose reconciliation and relationship with them over the revenge he could have easily had, probably with just a flick of the hand? Well, we know from what Joseph said to his brothers that he seems to have understood that God's purposes were unfolding throughout all of this, even strangely throughout his own trials. Being taken into Egypt as a slave had ended up being just the first step in a journey that led to Joseph rising to that position of influence in Pharaoh's court, a position that meant that he had the ability to protect his family when that famine came. And Joseph seems to have clearly realized this. That's why, as we heard, he said to his brothers, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph could see what God had done. We know that by what he said to his brothers. I think we can also see it in his emotional, intense reaction in all of this, a reaction that moved him this time to tell them who he was. We're told from the very first verse in our part today that he was overcome. He could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and so he orders everyone to leave except his brothers. And when they're alone, the tears come as he tells them who he is and then explains how God has moved so that he can save them. Now, it could be that Joseph is weeping with joy over finally being reunited with his brothers. And maybe that is some of what's happening here. But I think that there might be more to it than that. He'd been with them before when they'd come to Egypt the first time, but something was different this time. Something that caused him to be filled with emotion and to act on it. I wonder if it might have been his realization of the amazing truth that God had been with them the whole time. The same God who he'd heard about in the stories of his family, the same God who had come to his great-grandfather Abraham, the same God who had come to his grandfather Isaac and again to his father Jacob. I can imagine that Joseph would have been completely overwhelmed as he realized that that same God had now brought him to this very moment in order to save his family's lives. It would have been a holy moment. And holy moments are like that. That sense, that realization that God is close. Well, that can bring us to tears. I have this suspicion that Joseph realized he was in the middle of one of those holy moments as he told his brothers who he really was. He could see that somehow his life had been caught up in God's purposes. And in that moment, with that knowledge, his desire for revenge would have dissipated, leaving room once again for some things that are very much at the heart of this beautiful life Jesus has promised us. Things like overwhelming joy, the grace to forgive a deep, deep hurt, and hope. For Joseph, hope for his family, for their future, for their descendants. Joseph's story is a wonderful illustration for us of how God can be working out his purposes through the lives of his people, even when those lives involve significant times of trial and challenge. Joseph was sold into slavery, but God was able to use that difficult experience to bring about a good end for he and his family, an end through which ultimately God would bring hope to the whole world. So that has me wondering, if we can see how God might be working out his purposes through our lives today, especially during this time of significant trial we're in the midst of this pandemic. So much of what we are hearing and thinking about in these days seems to be focused on sickness and death. But is there more going on? If God's promises to be with us are true, and I think that they are, then there must be ways that God is working, bringing life in the midst of these difficult times. So as we go today, I wonder if you might consider something. Do you think it might be possible that God may even be wanting to work through us and through our lives to bring life and hope to this world that is facing so much death right now? Friends, the further we go into this crisis, the more I am coming to believe that this is actually the challenge and the call for the church right now. I truly believe that God can and will work through our lives if, like Joseph, we're willing to let our lives be guided by God's purposes, and so discover, as he did, that within those purposes, there is life. Life for us, and life for our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, friends. I'm grateful for the opportunity to present to you the prayers of the people in a way that has become our new normal. I'm not sure when or what it will look like when we can gather again on a Sunday morning, but I am greatly looking forward to it. As I invite you to join me in prayer this morning, I encourage you to sense the Lord's presence in the Word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it was placed on my heart as it reads, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." May we always remember that we are able to come to the throne in prayer and come with reverence because he is our King, but also with bold assurance because he is our friend and our counselor. One of my favorite verses 19 years ago when I began to seek the Lord was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God makes all things beautiful in his time. Father, help each one of us be patient to wait upon you. Be still and listen for your voice, for it is in you our hope is found. Father, Abba, we come before you today with gratitude. Gratitude for the opportunity to remain connected with each other through new ways. Gratitude for the example of Jesus, who teaches us to love our neighbors and serve those around us. Please open our eyes to new visions of service and faithful living. Gratitude for the opportunities to expand our hearts and hands into the community through the grace you so generously give us. Gratitude for the amazing gift of today, for our breath of life, for your wondrous creation, and for your Son. Father, we hear, see, and experience so much in this world that is of concern to us, and at times seems so overwhelming, and we can begin to feel helpless. We are grateful for your word reminding us that is in our weakness, you are strong. Father, we petition concerns today for those who are the isolated and lonely, those who are hungry, homeless, addicted, and facing mental health issues, all of whom have been losing their supports to help them cope. Father, we know this pandemic has exacerbated these difficulties for many of them. Guide and help us to know what each one of us individually and collectively could do to help support these vulnerable peoples. We petition for the families, the children and youth in our communities who are all experiencing this pandemic in their own ways. I pray for families to be brought together and not be pulled apart. We pray for our world leaders, leaders of our country, our provinces, and in our municipalities during these unprecedented times. May your will be done. Father, the world pandemic has taken over the public news as it has needed to do, but Lord, help us to remember those who are suffering in so many other ways. It's still happening locally, nationally, and around the world. Lord, we lift all these concerns to you. Heavenly Father, we lift our prayers and petitions in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you for your continued giving to our work here at St. Stephen's. Please join me in a prayer, committing these gifts to God. Gracious God, gather these gifts of our hands and our hearts. Teach us to use all you provide to us wisely, both personally and as a congregation. We dedicate these offerings to your glory and to our neighbor's good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I have one announcement, and it comes a little bit on the heels of our sermon this morning. You'll recall in that sermon, we were considering whether there might be ways that God is wanting to bring life to our world through our lives. Well, we've heard of an appeal that has been launched in the United Church of Canada, where they will be working with their in-place global partners to try to address the dramatically increasing incidence of people in this world who are in urgent need of food. It is estimated that COVID-19 will double the number of people on this earth who don't have enough to eat and need help quickly. They anticipate that that number could get as high as 270 million people. And obviously, I find that quite moving. So I want to let you know about this appeal being made. It's easy to give if you are moved, as I am, obviously. Through the United Church of Canada website, you can find a link on our own church website under our news section. It's called United Church of Canada COVID-19 Global Response. And if you are able and moved to contribute to this, there are people around the world whose lives we can touch. And now our blessing. Friends, go out into the world and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. And may you know the strength of God's love, the freedom we've been given in Christ, and the guidance and enlivening of the Holy Spirit wherever you go. Amen.